Freezing outside. Have you noticed? I mean, come on. Do you need any better sermon intro music than just that, right? Ice, as far as the eye can see. I was going to do like, baby, it's cold outside, but that seems more like Christmas, you know what I mean? And walking in a winter wonderland, everybody else felt like winter wonderland. What do you got, man? Hey, come up for a second. That'd probably be good.
Welcome.
I just feel like that's a very appropriate shirt. Got a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Nice. Check it out while our DJ revolves it. I don't know. Woo. All right. You've heard Vanilla Ice too many times this morning already. That's twice. Two times too many. But, man, when I was in high school, I'm just saying, whoo, him and MC Hammer, that was where the action was. That devil music. Anyways, so, hey, we launched last week this new theme here, this Stand 2024. Creekor shared the answers to all of the questions, who is God? So if you missed the sermon, you can go online and watch it, and he explains all of it in total detail. Any questions, forward it to hashtag CreekorGoodLuckSucker.com, something like that, I'm not sure. And then Sunday night, we gathered together here at 6 o'clock for our first of our evening sessions in our Stand series. A lot of people here, great conversations and questions. It's really a neat time of unpacking the idea of who is God. Little heads up on weather in Indiana. Tonight, we are not going to hold any services. We have a bunch of teen drivers, and you know it's a little chilly out there if you notice that. We also have a bunch of old drivers who noticed it was a little chilly too. And so you guys this morning are the frozen chosen, which feels awesome, right? But tonight, we are not going to do on-site ministry. So the youth group is not going to be meeting, the kids stuff, and the Stand group is not going to be meeting on site tonight. So you have the night to stay warm, hunker down. We're down to one furnace working this morning, which is kind of cool. We have three, but we had three, and then we had really two for most of the morning, and now we're down to one. So immediately following the service, we'll be working on that with a guy who's on his way. We tried to get him to come during the service, probably would have been good, but at any rate, as it cools down, I will wind down. Make sense? And if you guys have icicles on your face, I'll know it's time to stop. So we'll be good. But hey, you know what? We got one furnace, which that's like 33%, which if you're batting 300 in baseball, you're a Hall of Famer. So we're a Hall of Fame church this morning with one working furnace. Well, this morning, I want to take you over to Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus is going to have a conversation with his disciples. And he is going to ask them, what I'm going to present to you is the most important question that Jesus ever asks, and maybe the most important question that you'll ever be presented with. And it goes in line a little bit with where we're heading here in this series of Stand 2024. We talked a bunch last week about this relationship that God offers us. Who is God? Well, a really important follow-up to that is, who is Jesus? And so this morning, we're going to unpack some of that. I'm just going to be able to touch on some things. I was going to drop references all morning, like talk to Creekor tonight, he'll have all the answers for you, but it's actually going to be in a week, because that's how hard this question is, maybe, right? We got a whole extra week, we got to work on it. But in Matthew chapter 16, let's pick up 13 through 17, check out this interaction between Jesus and his disciples. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples this question. He said, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And then Jesus stops and says, "But what about you? What about you?" Jesus asked. "Who do you say I am? Who do you say that I am?" And shock of all shocks, Peter jumps into the fray and answers the question, right? I love having Peter around because Peter is the dude in the small group when you throw out a question and nobody will say anything, and so Peter just launches into something that maybe helps, maybe doesn't, but he at least gets some motion going, right? Peter answers this question while the other disciples are trying not to look like they're dumber than the other disciples, right? Peter blurts out this: "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, maybe giving Peter a little hard time, let me just jump in and say, Peter crushed it. Nice job. In fact, don't take my word for it. Take Jesus' reply. Jesus replies, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah." In fact, this wasn't revealed to you by mere flesh and blood. You didn't just wise this up with your buddies and try to make this come together. But no, by my Father in heaven, by the Spirit, this has been revealed to you. And I tell you this, Simon, son of Jonah, you're not going to be known by that name anymore. I tell you that you are now Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. What a powerful interaction this is between Jesus and his disciples. What a transformative space here for Peter, and how God just solidifies him and empowers the church. What a picture here, all in relation and circling around this question that Jesus asks: who do you say I am? In the process of thinking about it, in the process of kind of figuring out what does the world think, and then coming to a place of pronouncing, you know, a judgment from Peter, God totally changes Peter. And this question is central to transformation for all of us. I would argue that it's really not a question. What Jesus asks here, who do you say that I am? Who do you say I am? It's not really a question. It's the question. It's the eternal life and death question for every single one of us. Who do you say Jesus is? Your answer to this question, your answer to this question determines your eternity. And it also determines what life looks like right now and going forward. This is the pinnacle question. Who do you say Jesus is? Well, let's take a look here at this passage. Jesus comes to the region of Caesarea Philippi. Now, unlike Krikor, who grew up there, so he has the inside track on Israel, I just read about stuff. So maybe Google Earth it a little bit. But anybody ever been to Caesarea Philippi? Cheater, doesn't count. Yeah, I mean, not all of us have been, but there's something interesting about this region and this question that Jesus asks his disciples in this space. And there's probably a lot of little nuance, but this area is a place in northern Israel, close to these villages in Caesarea that Jesus is walking through with his disciples, or close to the Mount Hermon area, I believe it is. And here's something really fascinating. There's a spring in this area that is one of the headwaters of the Jordan River. And I think it's just kind of interesting that Jesus, walking with his disciples, talking with his disciples, trying to just kind of help them see some things and maybe have their eyes opened to the eternal realities of who he is, Jesus, at the headwaters of the Jordan River that flows through so much of Jesus' ministry and life, he asks this foundational question: who do you say I am? And symbolically, in the same way that the river Jordan flows from one of these springs as one of its headwaters, the question for us, who do you say that I am, from Jesus, defines the flow of our life. It's the headwaters of everything that we do and everything that we are and everywhere that we go, and everything that follows is contingent upon the answer to that question: who do you say that I am? Our life, our eternity flows from our answer to that question. I think it's a pretty symbolic thing that Jesus, in this space, is talking with his disciples and asking him this profound question and unveiling who he is. He says, who do people say the Son of Man is? The Son of Man. And if you know your Bible a little bit, you know that this is a reference that gets brought up a ton. Jesus as the Son of Man. He refers to himself as the Son of Man. And there's a lot to this. If you want to know more details, talk to Krikor at class. He's going to hook you up. I told him I'm just going to tee him up with 1,000 questions today so that he has to answer a bunch. But you get the night off to work on it. So there you go. What is this Son of Man thing? Well, let me simplify it to this for just the sake of this moment here. Jesus is revealing a little bit of who he is, even in the question he asks. I love this about Jesus. Who do people say the Son of Man is? Well, Jesus is revealing a little bit about who he is. He's the Son of Man. And in its simplest form, Jesus is revealing his humanity. We call the incarnation this beautiful mystery of God becoming flesh. There's fancy theological terms like hypostatic union, right? Which we all drop all the time in conversations at the water cooler. Hypostatic union, this union of fully God, 100% God, and fully God, or fully man, 100% man, together as one. Which if you do the math is like 200%, right? But in God's amazing, mysterious way, 100% man, 100% God, 100% Jesus. And what a crazy and intense mystery that is for us. It's been revealed to us, and Jesus reveals that's who he is. And man, there's crazy significance to that. That he says he knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like to have to live this life and to grind and to suffer and to struggle in the realities of living in a fallen world. He knows. We don't have a high priest who has not gone through what we've gone through. So he is fully human and yet fully divine. And it's a fun conversation to see how churches over the years have worked on that tension and big battles and wars raged and division. But the simple reality is that Jesus saw himself as the Son of God and the Son of Man in perfect harmony. And Jesus reveals this. Who do people say the Son of Man is? And the disciples reply with this. Some say John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah. The consensus amongst the people of who is this Jesus is great prophet. Maybe a prophet of old who's been brought back by the power of the Spirit, but a great prophet, one who speaks the truth of God and reveals the truth of God to the people of Israel, a great prophet. Some say a great teacher or rabbi giving tremendous guidance and counsel and information and knowledge, baffling the mind. Some say a great miracle worker. Some say a wise and great philosopher. More so now than then, perhaps. But some say in our world, don't they, that Jesus was a brilliant philosopher, a great social we talk Martin Luther King and social justice. Look at what Jesus tried to do. What a great and amazing philosopher, social activist in his day, right? Some people just resign to the reality that he's just a great man, right? And if the Son of Man was only the Son of Man and not also the Son of God, then we could say he was just a great man, right? And we've had great men, you know, guys like Gandhi, or even tomorrow we celebrate MLK, Martin Luther King, and what he represented and what he did, and we honor his life and legacy because he was a great man. But none of these things fully describe the greatness of who Jesus is or the whole picture of who Jesus is. Was he a great mouthpiece for the truth of God and calling Israel to repentance and to follow the ways of the Lord? Absolutely. Was he a great teacher, a great miracle worker, a wise philosopher, and a great man? Yes, he was all of those things. But he wasn't merely all of those things. And if you're not careful, you resign Jesus to a place in the history books as somebody like Martin Luther King or Gandhi or fill in the blank. Jesus, well, one, he's not dead, right? That helps. But he's so much more than all of these. And I love what Jesus says. As his disciples are like, well, everybody's saying you're a prophet and a, an amazing guy like Elijah or Jeremiah. Or, I mean, people are really excited because you're a mouthpiece for the Lord and doing some crazy cool things. But Jesus, as he always does, he makes it personal, right? Because he wants a personal relationship with you. He doesn't want a communal relationship with you. He doesn't care what everybody else is saying. He cares what you're saying. What about you? Who do you say that I am? And can I just do this for a second? I know maybe it's a little weird, but I think Jesus, once again in his question, is revealing just a little bit, right? Who do you say I am? Just subtle, right? Maybe you didn't even intend it. But as we see in the book of John, Jesus does reveal himself as the great I am. And in these I am statements, he tells everybody who he is and what he's about, right? The bread of life. He is the eternal bread of life that when we eat of his flesh, metaphorically, that our lives are wrapped up in this amazing atonement and now forgiveness and restoration with God, the bread of life. I am the light of the world that shines brightly in the darkness and points people to the hope of all eternity. I am the door of the sheep. I'm the way through, right? I'm the access point to hope and to life and to eternity. I'm the good shepherd who cares for the sheep, who nurtures the sheep, who leads the sheep. I am the resurrection and the life. What a beautiful picture. I am the death, but I am the life. I am the resurrection, right? I've died for your sin, but I will come to life and stand eternal as the living God forever. I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. It says, I am the true vine. You can get grafted in wherever you want to, but unless you're tapped in to the real root of Jesus, can't survive, can't thrive, can't grow. I am all of these things. Oh, and so much more. Just ask Krikor. He'll tell you all about it later on. What about you? Who do you say I am? I don't know that Jesus was really revealing all that in the question, but you can't pass up an I am. You know what I'm saying? Not the great I am. Who do you say I am? And then Peter. Love it. Peter boldly in faith states, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the entire world. That's who you are. You're the Son of the living God. And think about that kind of compared to how Jesus asks, who do they say the Son of Man is? And they listed all kinds of great men. But Peter says, you're the Savior, the Christ, and the Son of God. Peter recognized his deity, even as Jesus expressed his humanity. What a cool picture. The Son of the living God, the Messiah, the one who has come to save. And don't miss this. As Peter expresses that reality, as Peter states publicly amongst his friends and says, you're the Messiah, you're the Savior, I confess with my mouth that you are the Savior of the world, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, that I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, right? Sounds like a familiar verse. Peter does that publicly. And don't miss this, guys. Peter is changed. He's transformed because of that reality, because of that proclamation and profession of faith. Peter's changed. He's not known as Simon, son of Jonah. He's now Peter, the rock. He's transformed because of his faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, I'm going to throw a couple of pastor things up here, throw you some D's. His destiny is transformed. His direction is transformed. And his desire is transformed because of his profession and who Jesus is. What do I mean by those? Well, his destiny, the purpose of his life, what brings meaning and purpose to what he was doing on this planet, how he was spending his time, energy, and resources has all changed because of this reality that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God. And because of that, now everything I do and what my life is about has been transformed and changed. I'm no longer chasing my own ambitions and desires. I'm no longer living for myself. My mission is not my checkbook or my house or my finances or relationships so that I can feel good and gratify the desires of my flesh. Everything about my destiny and my purpose is now wrapped up in the reality of who Jesus is. And that affects the direction, right? The path of his life. Every decision he makes, the roadmap for choices and relationships and jobs and connections and interactions, the direction that he's going, the way that he's living, all gets affected because of this proclamation of who Jesus is in him. Who he says Jesus is now affects every day's direction. The conversations, the interactions, all of it are changed because of this reality, and his desire is transformed. The passions of his life, they no longer revolve around his selfish ambition or his flesh or his earthly desires, but he becomes transformed to chase after eternal passion, eternal desires, eternal meaning in what he does. And no longer is he satisfied with the things of this life, but instead chases after things that last for all eternity. And I don't think it's any stretch to say that because of Peter's proclamation and who Jesus is, his eternal destination is forever changed. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. The confession of who Jesus is as Savior and the Son of God, the Lord, changes and transforms destiny, direction, desire, path, our purpose, our passion, changes everything. Why? Because it's the question. It's the question. Who do you say Jesus is? And here's the crazy part. He asks every one of us individually, and nobody can turn to their spouse or their friend and have them answer for you. The scripture is real clear. One day we stand before the great throne judgment of God. And this is going to be the key question that our life is going to give evidence of who we believed Jesus to be. As we go into this new year, as we try to continue in this single day, the question of who Jesus is in your life is the most important question. And it affects everything about what you do. And let me just say, if it doesn't affect what you do, then maybe you're not being honest about your answer. Because if he is Lord, then we follow him and we're obedient to him. And we're a sacrificial group of people, not a social club trying to feel good about our life. We're extremists in love because so was Jesus. Our band's going to come up here for just a moment and we're going to close in prayer this morning. And I want to take a moment to give you an opportunity to reflect on this question. We're not going to spend a ton of time. I'm not trying to make some emotional drag out on a cold day where we don't have furnaces that work well. But I don't want you to leave this morning unsettled about the answer to the question, who do you say that Jesus is in your life, for your life? Because I'll be honest, I love everybody here, but your individual life and your individual eternity matters more than anybody else around you right now. And it will one day when you stand before the Lord. Don't lean on somebody else and don't lean into some hope or religion. Lean into Jesus, the Son of the living God, the Savior who has come. Would you bow your heads, please? Father, I pray in these moments as we think about who you really are in our life, I pray you would speak clearly to us and give us a sense of peace for those who answered this question with you as Savior and Lord in our life, and give us a desperate sense of restlessness if this question is unanswered for us. I invite you now to spend a few moments reflecting and in prayer. The altar's open. You can come pray. You can pray where you're at. But Jesus asks you this question today. Who do you say that I am? Spend a few moments answering that with him. Lord, as we come into this new year that you've created for us with new mercies and new opportunities and new life, you ask us a very old question. And yet, you ask us the question. You know our hearts. You know us. Probably more than we could even imagine knowing ourselves. You examine us. You bring, through conviction of your Holy Spirit, things to light because of your great love. And Father, for those who are unsettled in the question of who you are in their life, I pray you would continue to reveal yourself boldly and powerfully and clearly. That people would make a decision to choose to follow you as Peter did. To proclaim you as Savior and Lord. And Father, for those of us who know you, and can answer who you are in our life, I pray you would renew us with a sense of passion and purpose, direction, desire, and destiny. That everything about our life would reflect the answer to this question. Forgive us for how we've fallen short of that. Forgive us for how much we've let the world press in. Forgive us for how much we've let our own selfishness, our own desires, our own comfort and pleasure dictate terms. Thank you for people like Martin Luther King who sacrificed, gave his life for something that really mattered. We want to be your church that stands like a rock, and the gates of hell tremble and can't prevail. Not because of who we are, but because of who you are. Because of the answer to the question. Thank you for revealing just some of who you are to us this morning. And Father, I pray you would help us to walk in power and wisdom, being extremists for love, the love of God, shining in the world around us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your invitation. And thank you for your question. In Jesus' name, amen.